There's been no official word from the Foreign Affairs Department. Jim Bonner, our Darwin correspondent who was in East Timor recently, is speaking to Jeff Duncan.
Jim, if the Compass story is true, just how could it have happened?
I think it could have happened quite easily. There's no thin or there's no demarcation line as such as we would know it. There's no particular front line. And I imagine any television camera crew that was trying to get the action would have been right up towards the front. And that would have been all right while the fighting was going on. But the moment either side withdrew, they'd be left fair in the middle.
So they could have been caught in a sort of no man's land.
That's right, and this could have quite easily happened in this case.
At Mum's instigation, a requiem church service was held for my brother Tony on the 31st of October 1975 for the repose of his soul.
Father, all-powerful God, we pray for our brothers Gary, Greg and Tony, whom you have called from this world. Raise them up to eternal joy in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Nearly 2 months later, on the 5th of December in Jakarta, a funeral took place to honour the Balabo Five.
The only contact I'd had with the Foreign Office was when some fellow rang up and said that he hoped I realised that we'd have to pay for the body to be brought back to Australia. That just about finished me off. We realised that tacit approval had been given by the Australian government to the invasion, so it all became so political and you couldn't rely on anybody really getting down and saying exactly what happened. And you just had to learn to live with it. My husband always thought that Channel 7 were quite irresponsible sending such a naive young team away, and he never changed his mind at all.
New light shed on the killing of five journalists in Balabo.
This morning marks the anniversary of an event which has poisoned relations between Indonesia and the Australian media for two decades. The crews from the 7 and 9 networks were reporting on Jakarta's clampdown on the Fretilin independence movement in the small town of Balabo in East Timor. They died as an elite Indonesian force overran the town just before dawn on the 16th of October 1975.
To wake up, Jakarta claims, get your breakfast ready and read the paper to discover photos or articles about what may or may not have happened to them, how they would have been killed, and different suppositions about what had gone on.
Every year on the anniversary of Tony's death, the same haunting photo would appear on the front pages of the paper.
At least later on, someone had the insight to ring and warn us that there'd be a very distressing article in the paper next day. At Christmases and birthdays were very, very upsetting.
Over the years, a parade of characters came into our lives who were connected with the story, and over the next three decades, the mythology of the Balabo Five evolved. Slowly, Tony's story seemed to be taken away from us. It became part of a bigger history, a symbol of Australia turning a blind eye to the Indonesian invasion of East Timor. Tony and his colleagues were painted as warriors for truth and justice. But he was our Tony. Maybe it is a big symbolic Australian story, but I can't help looking at it through the prism of how it affected my family. Mum told me once that an Australian war artist said that the hardest thing on the battlefields was hearing grown men crying for their mums. I know Mum often wonders whether Tony cried out for her.
Now when I was a young man, I carried me pack and I lived.
I remember reading somewhere Rudyard Kipling had one son only that was killed in the First World War, and he likened recovery from this wound like a scab, that it heals over on top but it's very raw always underneath. I always had a great interest in the First World War, where I thought it was appalling that so many young Australians went off so naively and happily to be slaughtered at Gallipoli. And I used to think of all the poor mothers and all the cemeteries and monuments around Australia in honour of those fallen.
And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the ship pulled away from the quay.
Very keen on the song by a fellow called Eric Bogle, and the band played Waltzing Matilda because I could empathise with those same sentiments very, very strongly.
And how well I remember that terrible day.
My dad handled his grief differently.
My husband was a very private man. He didn't particularly want to talk about it.
Hindsight being a powerful thing, I've realised my dad, the life of the party, actually didn't like to cause a fuss, and he ran away from conflict. His father was a bombastic, bad-tempered old man who suffered from epilepsy. He was known to provoke fights, and my dad had grown up and learnt to be wary of trouble.